You laugh, but one of the hardest things in the world for me about my daughter getting married was having a full-grown man as my son-in-law. It's like, I never did quite get used to that. Amen. Well, I didn't have any jokes or anything for this morning, but we started singing that song, and I remember the church that my wife and I went to before we moved up to Minnesota in 1989. Church down in South Carolina, Brother Baker, Carl Baker, guy down there, great man, great brother, really helped me out in the Lord. I remember him getting up and singing that song at one service. And my memory of that is always, you know, always been very vivid. And I can still hear him in my mind singing that song. It's a great song. And it's kind of a little theme song around our house, as a matter of fact. I don't know about you guys, but we have an enjoyable time in our home. And I usually start off that song something to the effect of, you know, all my life long I had panted. But then I normally change the lyrics from there on out. And I won't give you all the examples, but they usually revolve somehow, shape, or form around the fact that I had panted because I was so out of shape, so I gave up on all exercise and went and sat down and had some cake. But the song takes various forms depending on whatever mood I'm in. but anyway, that was very very enjoyable. So that's the all the entertainment, the jokes there were for today, because, you know, I sat down last night, brethren, to just to kind of scan the news and look and see what's going on, because obviously with everything going on with Brother Stevens being in the hospital, was very, very busy, and I really haven't even had time to sit down and watch the news. So I thought, well, let me figure out what's going on in the world and sit down and kind of get caught up and see what's happening, because maybe there's something that happened important that, you know, that I would need to know about. And I sat down and I started going through the news and looking at a bunch of the different stories that are out there. And you know what I found, brethren? I found virtually nothing that was appropriate for this morning. I looked and I was saddened and depressed at all the things that I saw out there. And there wasn't anything worth reporting. All there was a bunch of stories that confirmed something that you and I already know. And that is this world is in a mess. Amen. This world needs the Lord Jesus Christ. And this world needs God. They need, brethren, what you and I have found. I'm so glad that I have a God that can take care of me. I mean, Brother Chad, I bet you say that a lot during those 60-plus days of no sunshine up in Alaska. You know, about day three, I'd be going, God, please, where's the sun? I don't know how to do it. The weather, I'm sure I could probably handle. There'd be some great ice diving up there, I'm sure. but I don't know. I don't know about missing the sun for 60 plus days. But you know, I'm glad I have a God that can take care of me. I'm glad I have a God that desires good for me. A God that desires good for me. I'm glad that I have a God that looks for opportunities to help me. I mean, you ever think about that? The Lord God looks for an opportunity to help you. Take, for example, and open, if you will, in your Bibles to John chapter 4. Very familiar passage of Scripture, but John chapter 4. And we're going to look at one of those opportunities that the Lord Jesus Christ took. And in John chapter 4, we're just going to start by reading the first few verses in the book of John chapter 4. And the Bible says this. It says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Now, our Heavenly Father, we come before you once again on a Sunday morning. Lord, truly grateful that you are our God. Truly grateful that, Lord, in spite of what we see in the news and in the world, Lord, you're in control. And I know that the devil is sure battling hard to take over the souls of men on this earth. But Father, we know who's going to win that battle eventually, and it's a blessing to have our confidence and our trust and be able to rest in Thee and know that, Lord, You're looking for ways to take care of us, Your people. And I pray that You'd just help these words that come from Your book this morning to encourage the hearts of Your people. And I pray, Father, that if there's somebody here who has never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Lord, today would be the day that they realize just what a great God You are, just what a merciful God You are. And Father, they would turn their hearts to the only one that can save their soul from hell, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ in this passage, like I said, it's a familiar passage, but the Lord Jesus Christ is heading to Galilee, but He takes the opportunity to swing through the Gentile area of Samaria. And He takes, you know, goes out of His way and heads over to Samaria. And, brethren, He's looking for an opportunity to help someone. I mean, the Lord knows perfectly well what's going to happen as soon as He departs off His path and heads over into Samaria. He knows He's going to meet the woman at the well. He knows what the exchange is going to be like. He knows what's going to happen. And yet, He goes out of the way just to go over there and give her an opportunity to receive some help that she desperately needed. And I find a lot of comfort in that. I find a lot of comfort in that. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ goes over and departs from His path and heads over to Samaria. And He goes over to a well. And you know what He does? He sits down, brethren. He sits down and He waits until she gets there. You think about that. Think about that. He takes time out of His day, head over to Samaria, and sits down at a well. And I don't know if he was sitting there twiddling his thumbs. I don't know if he was tapping his foot. I don't know if he was singing, songs to himself. All my life long I had panted for a drop from some clear spring. That would have been an appropriate song to sing while he was sitting there waiting for the woman to show up. I don't know what he's doing, but he walks over there and he sits down at the well. And brethren, he's waiting for her to show up. He's waiting for her to show up. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, in our lives quite often walks around and takes a seat and just kind of sits down and waits for you and I to show up. And I'd like you to think about that this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ goes out of His way to meet you somewhere along the path during your day and sits there and waits for you to show up. Let's take a look back at our passage here, and we'll pick up in verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For His disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. Living water. Now, I've titled the message, I got the title out of this verse right here, but I've titled the message this morning simply this: If thou knewest the gift. If thou knewest the gift. Jesus Christ told this woman, He said, If thou knewest the gift, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. If thou knewest the gift. You know what our problem is a lot of times when it comes to trying to live the Christian life or just trying to walk, day in and day out. The problem is, brethren, a lot of times you and I don't realize just what it is the Lord Jesus Christ offers. See, I know a lot of people and have met a lot of people who are concerned and who are worried about what's life going to be like if I ever become a Christian? What's life going to be like if I submit myself and give my heart completely and totally to the Lord? What's life going to be like if I take the advice that I've heard from preaching? And the truth of the matter is, brethren, like this woman at the well, if she knew what He was offering her, her attitude would have been different from the start. So I've simply titled a message, If Thou Knowest the Gift. See, we don't know, brethren, what God's offering us. And that's a shame. It is a shame. But neither did she at this point. Neither did she. We don't see the greatness of what God has to give. Teens, you go to school and, you meet all your friends. And you know what you see? You see a lot of times them having fun. You see a lot of times maybe they have a new car and you don't have a car yet. Maybe you don't even have your permit yet or your license yet. You see them going out and girls, you see somebody with, you know, like I said, a brand new car, and it looks like they have lots of money, and oh, what a good possibility he would be for a future husband. And you see things sometimes on the surface, but when it comes to the things of the Lord, we don't see the greatness of the gift that the Lord Jesus Christ offers. We just don't see it. We don't see how what the Lord is offering us can change our lives so dramatically. You know, we don't see how that what you hear from the pulpit when Brother Stevens stands up and preaches, or any of the other men that stand up in this pulpit and preach, sometimes we don't see how that a simple line or a simple verse or a simple statement or even a whole theme of a sermon can fix our marriage. We don't see how it can repair our finances. You know, we don't see how it'll rebuild our character. And we don't see how it might just overhaul our family. Brethren, our problem is the same problem that this woman at the well had, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ went out of his way, went over and sat down at the well, and actually sat there and waited for her because he had something for her that was worth having. But she didn't see it. She didn't see it. She missed it. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're lost. I don't know. We have a lot of visitors and a lot of kids that are growing up in the church, and maybe they're old enough to the point where they're starting to think about those sort of things. But you know what the biggest danger is if you're lost here this morning? The biggest danger is that you won't see the value of the gift of salvation that Jesus Christ offers you. The biggest danger is you won't see the value, you won't see the gift. If thou knewest the gift of what salvation was, you would look at things a lot differently. You see the world, you see everything, but you don't see what Lord Jesus Christ offers. I'm just here to tell you this morning that simply, the Lord Jesus Christ, brethren, in your life and mine, if you're lost, is looking to give you that gift of salvation. If you're saved, the Lord Jesus Christ is just sitting around the corner, probably sitting at a well, waiting somewhere in your life, and looking for an opportunity to give you something that he has for you. And the danger that you have and the danger that I have is the same danger this woman faced, and that is this: she just didn't see it. There were a few obstacles along the way to her receiving that gift, and that's what we're going to take a look at here this morning. Let's go back to our text, and we'll pick up in verse 10 and continue on in the passage. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Jesus saith unto her, "Go and call thy husband, and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." The woman saith unto him, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things." Jesus saith unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he." Now, as I said earlier, very familiar passage of Scripture that I know gets preached quite often. But just reading through there, looking at that, brethren, and just thinking about everything that's going on. And what I realized is we face the same obstacles this woman faced as far as receiving the gifts that God has for us. I'm not talking in a charismatic sense. I'm just talking, brethren, the opportunity that the Lord has to change something in your life. An opportunity that the Lord has to reach down and through a sermon, through a friend, through a kind word, through reading your Bible, through prayer and study in your Bible, the Lord has an opportunity to reach down and tap you on the shoulders and fix something and give you something. Maybe it's encouragement. Maybe it's a nice pat on the back. Great job. Maybe it's a swift kick in the seat of the pants. But He has an opportunity to give you something. And brethren, we miss it. Because like this woman in verse 10, you know what? She didn't recognize the gift or the giver. A lot of times, brethren, we come to church on a Sunday morning, and we sit down in the congregation, and we're Christians. We go to church on Sunday morning. We come in and we sit down and we want to hear what the great jokes are of the day. We want to hear what the news stories are of the day and how Brother Stevens presents them. And we want to hear, we want to hear from the Bible. We want the Bible opened up. But a lot of times, brethren, we sit there in the congregation and we miss the very thing that will change our life because we don't recognize it. We don't recognize it. This woman is sitting here and she's going about her business. See, we miss the miraculous while minding the mundane. We miss the miraculous while minding the mundane. See, we get so caught up in the affairs of life and the day in, day out grind and just, going from one chore to the next chore to the next chore to the next chore, like this woman. All she was doing was on her normal daily routine, walking out to get water the way that she always does, probably at least once or a couple times a day. And she had the opportunity presented to her. And brethren, she was in risk of missing it. She was in risk of missing it. You're going to find God in the everyday events of your life. And you're going to find the Lord Jesus Christ sitting and waiting for you. And if you're not careful, brethren, you're going to miss it. Ladies, you're going to be sitting there washing the dishes. And instead of praying while you're washing the dishes, you're going to be grumbling about the housework. Men, you're going to head off to work and you're going to be driving down the road, heading off to work. And instead of praying while you're driving, you're going to be grumbling about the traffic. And you're going to miss it. Listen, if you're here this morning, do you have any idea how many times God has presented Himself to you even in this past week? Maybe tried to get your attention. Do you have any idea how many times you've been to the well, got a drink of water? Maybe the stranger was sitting over there and you turned around and walked off. Happens all the time. It happens all the time. You're going to miss the miraculous because you're just minding the everyday things in life. You're going to miss it. I've heard testimonies of people many times get up and they give their testimony of salvation, how they got saved. And I've heard several people get up and I don't doubt their testimony at all for a minute. But I've heard several people get up and they say, you know what, I was 25 years old or 30 years old before I ever heard the gospel for the first time in my life. And to them, I'm quite certain that is very true. That's when they were 25, that's the first time they were aware of hearing the gospel in their life. I find it hard to believe that my Lord and my Savior didn't try to tap them on the shoulder sometime before they got reached 25 years old. But you know what? Amen. They missed it. They missed it. Just going through the daily routine of life, they missed it. I hear Christians that are going through difficult times and they often think that God's left them or at least isn't stepping in to solve the problem anytime soon. And again, I wonder, hey, how many times when you and I are down in the dumps and when we're in the valleys and it's dark and it's about day 47, day 47 up in Alaska and you're wondering if it's ever going to end, how many times maybe you're sitting out there at the well and it's dark and you don't see the Lord Jesus Christ next to you? We miss it. We miss it. The Lord Jesus Christ quite often goes out of His way, brethren, and just waits there. Remember Gideon? Gideon goes out, and what's Gideon involved in? Gideon is involved in the day in, day out routine. He goes out threshing wheat. He's doing what he always does, normal work. And one day somebody meets him out there. And in Judges 6, there came an angel of the Lord and sat under the oak, which was in Orpha, that pertained to Joash the Abizurite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles? Where be all his miracles? Gideon's just going about the normal daily routine out there, and the Lord shows up, and the Lord's got something for him to help him out. And he just about misses it. He just about misses it. You remember Naaman, the leper, the Syrian, right? I've wondered about this. I was thinking about this as I was preparing the sermon. How long had that little maiden girl been in his household before he finally listened to her and went to seek out the prophet from Israel? How many opportunities had Naaman had to maybe hear what she had to say? Brethren, the Lord, Matthew 24, says, Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. I know that verse is about prophecy, but you know what? A lot of times, guys, we miss it. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you're lost, you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know what you're in danger of? You're in danger of missing it because, oh man, my parents drug me to church again. And I got to sit here until it's time to go, and then we can go home and have lunch. And you miss it. You miss it. Hey, Christian, maybe you're sitting here this morning. Maybe you're sitting here and the Lord's trying to deal with you about something, and you don't recognize it. You don't recognize it. Take a look at verse 11 and 12. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou knowest, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water, that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well? And drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. You know what else? Another reason why you may miss what the Lord's offering you, and that is just simply this: doubt and disbelief because of natural observations. I mean, because of natural observations. You know, brethren, especially guys, we're terrible at it because you know we analyze everything. We want a logical explanation for how things are going to work. And brethren, the Lord doesn't work that way sometimes. I mean, this woman's sitting there at the well, and Jesus says to her, hey, how about you? I'll give you a drink of water. And she looks at him, and she says, wait a minute. You don't have a cup. The water's down there in that well. It's pretty deep. You can't reach down that far. How on earth are you going to give me a drink? I'm the one with the pitcher. I'm the one with the robe. I've got to lower the pitcher down into the well and bring the water up. I know how this is done. And brethren, you know what? We miss what the Lord wants to give us because we don't think He can do it. See, we look at the situation we're in, and our powers of observation are very astute. And we look at the circumstances that we find ourselves in, and we look at sometimes you look at your family situation, you say, there's no way I can recover this. Brethren, that's because we see with our eyes what's obviously before us. Just like this woman saw what was obviously before her. You don't have a cup. The water's way down there deep in the well. You can't reach it. There's no way you can get me a drink of water. And we don't believe our God. We let doubt and disbelief creep in. Remember Moses in the Red Sea. Moses crossing the Red Sea. He gets the children of Israel out of Egypt. They head on down. Now all of a sudden they're trapped. You got the Red Sea in front of them. You got the Egyptian army coming up behind them. And listen, 2 minutes before that water parted, you know what you had a whole lot of people doing? There's no way that God can get us out of this. Amen? There's no way that God can get us out of this. I mean, we have an army approaching us, and we have no M16A2 lightweight, air-cooled, magazine-fed, gas-operated, semi-automatic, automatic shoulder weapon. That just kind of slipped in there. And there's no way. Brethren, that's what the woman saw. That's what the woman saw. And that's what you and I see in our life sometimes. And you know what the consensus was? We're going to die. We're going to die. Remember the Hebrew children, three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, right? Their natural observation. Oh, furnace hot. Oh, flesh weak. We're going to fry. Amen? We're going to fry. Because they saw what was evidently put forth before them. But God doesn't use necessarily what's evidently put forth before you. God doesn't always use that. And it'd do us well, brethren, if we look at this woman at the well and remember, the Lord Jesus Christ had a gift for her, but she didn't see it. She didn't see it because she got caught up in just the mundane business of day-to-day life. She didn't see it because she looked at the evidence in front of her and she doubted that he would be able to actually do what he said. We can't make that mistake. According to all the laws of nature, it shouldn't have worked. He had no cup. It's too deep. Shouldn't have worked. In verse 12, she starts questioning whether God's even capable. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who dug this well? I mean, we look at it now and we think, oh, that was a really stupid question. But understandable in her position. Understandable. Now, I would venture to say that, you know, most of you Christian here, you know your Bible and you have faith in the Lord, you trust in God, and you look at things, and for you to come right out and say, no, God can't help me, is totally off your radar scope. You'd never admit that. You'd never say that. You'd never believe that. But practically, the way we go about things sometimes, we don't think God really will. We don't think He really will. We think that we're far too gone. I've committed too many sins. I've messed my life up. Too bad for God to reach all the way down to the bottom of that well and get water out. Besides that, He doesn't even have a cup. I know He could if He wanted to, but He probably won't just for me. So we justify it that way. If thou knewest the gift, brethren, if thou knewest the gift, if thou knewest the gift that the Lord had for you, you'd look at things different. This woman had to struggle with some very real doubts and was faced with some very real, as far as evidence, things in front of her that she had to overcome before the Lord was able to get through to her. You remember Balaam's donkey that spoke? Right, that dumb mule won't listen, stubborn beast. Balaam looked at that and just went right over his head. Sat there and was having a conversation with the donkey. Didn't see what the Lord was doing. The Lord had to finally open his eyes so that he could see what was going on. Brethren, sometimes we don't like to admit it. And we'd never say it outright. But sometimes we doubt our God. Dangerous thing. We've got to overcome that. If you're gonna receive the gift that He has for you, you're gonna have to overcome that. You're gonna have to overcome that. You're not too far gone for help. Things aren't bad enough that the Lord can't recover you. And you should never, ever get to the point where you think that's the case. It doesn't matter what things look like on the surface, because the Lord doesn't care about what you see as the evidence set before you. The Lord cares about what He can do when you get a hold of what that gift really is. If thou knewest the gift, I mean, if you can grasp how much the Lord Jesus Christ can really change things in your life, if you can grasp what that gift could really do for you, you know, we'd all behave a lot differently. We'd all behave a lot differently. The obstacles, brethren, the obstacles to seeing, to receiving the Lord's gifts. Take a look down at verse 13 real quick. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. I'll tell you another obstacle to receiving the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe just sitting at the well waiting to give you, and that is just simply this. I just titled this one, Selfishly Seeking Slothfulness, because I thought it sounded kind of cool. Selfishly Seeking Slothfulness. And you know what we do, brethren? Unfortunately, we're human, we're all lazy. You know, all my life long I had panted because I was so out of shape, right? I mean, what am I going to do, sit in my chair and have some cake? We joke about it all the time. But you know what she saw, brethren? Unfortunately, what she saw was an opportunity for a life of ease. Hey, I don't have to come back to this well every day anymore. I don't have to work anymore. If he give me this water and I'm never going to be thirsty again, I don't have to come down here with my, you know, with a pitcher and the rope and drop it down in the well and raise it back up and haul it all the way back to the house. Life is going to be, you know, a lot easier. Brethren, sometimes we look for the, you know, sometimes we look for the gift for the wrong reason. So here's Jesus Christ sitting there offering this woman, you know, living water and life everlasting. And she about takes him up on it, but she takes him up on it for the wrong reason. Nobody ever said the Christian life was going to be a life of ease. You know, teens, you look at, you know, I get this a lot of times in dealing with the teenagers. Is it worth it? Is it worth being a Christian? Is it worth the sacrifice? Is it worth missing out on what I'm, quote, going to miss out on? Oh, you bet it is. But it's not a life of ease. It's not a life of ease. You will have troubles and trials. They are a lot better to go through than the troubles and trials you would have had otherwise. But you will have troubles and trials. And sometimes you get somebody, you know, comes along and they decide to try to take the Lord up on his gift because they don't want to have to face something that's a lot of labor. You know, they're looking for the easy way out. And in James 3, the Bible says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." And she kind of does this with the Lord. She looks at him and says, "Oh, this will be easy. I'll take the water. I won't have to come back here again. It'll make my life a lot easier. I can sit home on the lawn chair and relax." And when she approaches the gift of God with that attitude, what does he do? The first thing that he does, "Oh, by the way, go get your husband." Taking the gift is not the easy way out. If thou knewest what the gift was, you'd give anything for it. If you knew what the Lord could do in your family, in your personal life, in your personal character, in your job, and if you knew what the Lord could do, you'd give anything for it. But a lot of times, brethren, we're just hindered by common things that hinder men when it comes to dealing with the Lord. She decided to take the gift of God for the wrong reason. She wasn't concerned about the water that he offered. She was more concerned about the work being lessened. Brethren, sometimes we want delivered from our troubles, we want delivered from our troubles sometimes not because we're interested in being changed. We want delivered from our troubles sometimes because we just want them to go away and we want the load eased. And that's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong attitude to go to the Lord with. Brethren, when you go to the Lord and you're looking for answers to problems in your life, so when you go to the Lord and you're looking for the Lord to give you a gift, you're looking for the Lord to miraculously do something in a situation that you have, you know what you have to consider the possibility of? You have to consider the possibility of the Lord may very well want you changed so that you don't wind up in the same position 3 months down the road or 3 years down the road. And the Lord has some great things for you. But sometimes he wants you and I to change. We don't like that so much. We don't like that so much. And so we're sitting at the well with the Lord Jesus Christ, who's gone out of his way, sat there and waited for us, given us an opportunity, and we pass it by. We pass it by. Because our motives are wrong. And finally, the last obstacle that I'll talk about here in this passage is simply this. Take a look down at verse 16. And we'll finish up reading it again. Jesus saith unto her, "Go call thy husband and come hither." The woman answered and said, I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that thou saidest truly." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Finally, brethren, you know what? You know what she does? The Lord Jesus Christ, she's gone through all these different obstacles. I mean, she almost missed him just because of the mundane routine of day in, day out life, right? She almost missed him because she approached the gift from a slothful position, from seeking it for the wrong reason. She almost missed him because she doubted what the Lord could do because she didn't understand the circumstances around her. And finally, brethren, she almost missed what the Lord Jesus Christ had for her because she wasn't willing to submit to him. She wasn't willing to submit to him. Brethren, she wasn't willing to lay herself down and exalt him and humbly bow her head and say, okay, Lord, you know best. You know best. She was trying to avoid her sin. Yes, we know that. But do you think the Lord would have really hit her with her sin that way if she had been humble in heart to begin with? I don't think he would have needed to go there. But we make it difficult for the Lord sometimes to give us the gift that he intends to give us, to help us in the way that he intends to help us, because we won't submit to him. We won't submit. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Romans 10:3 says this. It says, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. In Psalm 81, psalmist says, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. Brethren, she almost missed the gift of God because she wasn't willing to submit to her Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe one of the things that's keeping you from trusting the Lord Jesus Christ is you're not willing to submit. I don't want somebody telling me what to do. Go to church, they tell me what to do, tell me how to dress, tell me how to talk, tell me how to act. I don't want somebody telling me what to do. You're at risk of missing the gift that God's offering you. If thou knewest the gift, you'd think differently. Wives, maybe you're sitting here arguing, I don't want to submit to my husband. Who do you think he is? You'd be surprised what the Lord do for you if you try it. Husbands, you're sitting here thinking, I don't want to submit to God. I've got my own life to live. I've got my own course planned out. I have got my life in the direction that I want to go already mapped out. If thou knewest the gift, you'd think differently. If thou knewest the gift. See, in order for the Lord to actually reach down there in that well and bring up the water and give it to you, you got to submit to him. You got to submit to him. And that's a hard thing to do, brethren. You know, guys stand up and rant and rave all the time because their wives don't submit to them. Yeah, well, how well do you submit to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because the two probably parallel each other a lot more than you'd like to admit. Listen, no matter where you're at, what stage you're in your Christian life, whether you're sitting here lost or saved, no matter where you're at, it's always good practice to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? If you knew the gift, you'd be willing. You'd be willing. Brethren, but we walk by faith, not by sight. We can't see what that gift is. We don't see how it's how it's all going to turn out. We don't see the benefit sometimes of submitting to God. And so we pass it up. And finally, just to wrap things up, turn in your Bible, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I don't know of a better place to wrap things up than right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, take a look down at verse 9. It says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." The things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Brethren, this woman at the well faced a very common problem. She was going about her normal daily business and ran the risk of missing what God had for her. And then she had to face several other obstacles along the way, some of which you and I struggle with on a daily basis when it comes to submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ and doing what the Lord Jesus Christ wants. But I'd just like to leave here this morning and just remind you of this one thing. It doesn't matter what you're going through, like I said, whether you're on a mountaintop, whether you're down in the valley, what kind of troubles you find yourself in the midst of at work, at your personal life, your own character. Maybe you're struggling with troubles and nobody else even knows about. If thou knewest the gift of what the Lord Jesus Christ offered, brethren, you'd take it in a heartbeat. And you'd find the answers that you've been seeking. But you can make up reasons to ignore it. You can make up reasons to pass over the gift. I hope that you won't. If you're lost here this morning, I pray that you would realize the gift of salvation the Lord Jesus Christ offers. And I hope you'd realize that, yeah, you do have to submit to Him. And yeah, you're not going to see the benefit right away. And there's some things about being a Christian that aren't going to make a lot of sense to you. But if you ever got a glimpse of the vision for what the Lord Jesus Christ was offering, if you ever actually saw it, you would think differently. But you're not going to see it. Because the Lord expects you to take it by faith. The Lord expects that book to open up and speak to your heart. And for you to take Him at His word. And everything else will come in time. Trust me. Trust the Bible. Trust your God. Everything else will come in time. Christians, don't miss what the Lord's trying to give you. If thou knewest the gift, let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, once again, we thank You for a chance to be here this morning. I do appreciate the Bible and the words of the living God. Lord, they certainly speak to me as I go through them, and I hope that and pray that they've spoken to the hearts of Your people here this morning. Father, I know this. I know that this woman at the well was just going about her daily business, had a lot of things going on in her life. And Lord, You took the time to go out of Your way and walk over and sit down by a well and wait for her so that You could be a help to her. And Lord, what she needed was just to recognize that and to overcome whatever obstacles were in her path and to trust in You. And that's really what it all boils down to, Father. I pray that You'd help us to trust in our God. Help us, Father, to realize that You're sitting there at the well waiting for us and You have a gift to offer. And Lord, help us not to pass it by because we won't submit, because we doubt, because we get caught up in the mundane routines of life. Help us, Father, to always be looking for Your hand. Father, help us to seek You out. The Bible says, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. It says, remember His marvelous works which He hath done, His wonders, and the judgments of His mouth. It says that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. Father, I ask if there's somebody here this morning who's not saved, that you would deal with their hearts, give them the courage, Father, to just simply step out, come down the aisle, shake my hand. I'll get a man or woman to just take them off privately and speak with them for a few minutes about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Father, for the Christians, that they would just seek your face even more and not miss the gift that you're trying to give. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals. We'll stand. We'll turn to number 286. Number 286. Amen, folks. You can be dismissed. We'll see you back here at 6 o'clock this evening. Amen. Have a good afternoon.